In the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, I read, beginning at verse 8. Luke chapter 15, verse 8. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. This is chapter 2 in the parable of three lost things in Luke 15. As the ministry of the Lord Jesus is seen in the story of the lost sheep, so the ministry of the Holy Spirit through the church, the body of Christ, and the individual members of that body indwelt by the Holy Spirit is illustrated in the lost coin. The woman represents Christ's church here upon the earth. She is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And her commission from her ascended Lord was, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Holy Spirit operates through the church, which is the body of Christ in this dispensation, and individually through believers who are members of that body. They are his only instrument in carrying out the commission of our Lord. And for this reason, the story of the lost coin emphasizes our part as instruments of the Holy Spirit in seeking the lost and winning others for Christ. In the narrative of the sheep, we have the sovereign divine aspect of salvation. In the lost coin, we have the human instrumentality and the means by which this is accomplished through the Holy Spirit. And in the story of the prodigal, we see the personal responsibility of the sinner to respond to these means and invitations. The three parts of the parable, therefore, are one in their purpose and their plan. It is a golden chain of three links which must not be broken. Take out one link and we break the entire chain. We would therefore emphasize in this message our part and our responsibility in seeking the lost. The Holy Spirit operates through the instrumentality of those who have already been found by the Savior and yielded to him. Think of the woman therefore as yourself, as a member of the body of the Lord Jesus, commissioned to go out into the world, into the highways and byways, to seek that which is lost. The coin, of course, again represents, as does the sheep, the lost sinner whom we must find for our Savior. First of all, we notice the helpless condition of the sinner as illustrated by the coin. It was lost in a dark place. This is definitely suggested by the fact that the woman had to light a candle in her search. This is the picture of the sinner, for he is in darkness. The Apostle Paul says, But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the eyes of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. John says in 1 John 2:11, Darkness hath blinded their eyes. And the Lord Jesus himself said in John 3:3, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And for this very reason, we, like the woman in seeking the lost, must bring them first of all light, the light of the gospel of the grace of God. This is the very first requirement. The Word of God is this light. Salvation comes not by education, reformation, religion, but by the light of the Word of God. Scripture tells us that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, and it is the entrance of God's Word that giveth light. Men can only be saved by believing the Word of God, and we must bring it to them. There is no soul winning possible without the Word of God. And then the coin also suggests the utter helplessness and hopelessness of the sinner without Christ. A coin has no life. It cannot find its way back to its owner. It must be sought by another. And that is why Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That is why our commission is to go where the sinners are, not expect them to come to us. That is why the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. That is why we have been given the Holy Scriptures as a mean of salvation. That is why God has called redeemed men and women to bear the light of the gospel to every remote place of the globe. That is why we broadcast this word of God throughout the world, for therein lies man's only hope of light. Without it, men and women must remain in absolute darkness. But the coin was not only lost in a dark place, but in a filthy place. It was lost in dust and in dirt. And that is why our scripture tells us the woman swept. Did you notice that word, swept the house? Diligently. She took a broom and by the light of the candle began to clean up the place in her frantic search for the lost coin. If there had been no filth or dust, the broom would not have been necessary, of course. The entire scene, therefore, becomes an indictment of the woman, in a sense. In a very definite way, it was the woman's fault that the coin had been lost. Remember, this woman represents the church, and more particularly each member of the body of Christ. And it applies to you and to me. It was the woman's neglect which was the reason for the coin remaining lost. And therefore, realizing her own failure, she'd been a sloppy housekeeper, she becomes all the more frantic in her search to recover it. The woman had been careless in her housekeeping. She had neglected her family responsibilities. Probably she spent her time in gadding with the neighbors, or attending to her many social church functions, or watching television when she had been should have been cleaning house. Maybe she'd been so busy attending club meetings or celebrating all the special events of the season, crowning onion queens and pancake queens and cherry queens and swimming queens, so that she had no time to seek lost sinners for Christ. You see, the application is not hard to find. We have been given a job to do by our Lord, and it is our neglect of duty and our materialistic occupation with pleasure and success which has left us no time for spiritual matters. Let me make this personal. I trust you'll bear with me. How long has it been since you, I'm talking to you personally, have spoken to a lost sinner for Christ? You claim to be saved and belong to Jesus Christ. How much time do you spend in agonizing prayer for the lost ones, even the lost ones in your own family circle and in your own house? Remember, this coin was lost in the house of the woman, in her own house. And we are so often concerned with the health and the material success of our children and loved ones, but give but little thought to their salvation and spiritual welfare. Like the woman in the parable, we have dabbled in non-essentials and neglected the all-important purpose for which we ourselves have been saved. And what is true of us individually is too often true of the church. We have been occupied with the temporal instead of eternal, and material instead of spiritual matters. Instead of keeping our house clean and our lights burning, we, the church, have departed in many cases from the one God-given calling and dabbled in everything but the business of preaching the gospel. She has entered politics and social reform instead of preaching. The church is not a political body, a spiritual body. Let politicians run politics. That's their business, and God hath ordained the powers that be for this very purpose. But let politicians keep out of religion, for that is entrusted to those who have been ordained thereto. If the church of today would limit herself to preaching Christ and Him crucified for the salvation of sinners and the edifying of saints and leave all other matters in their proper sphere, she would recover her power, restore her dignity, and bring about the revival so sorely needed and prayed for in these days. The sad spectacle of churches that minister in everything but the gospel is a disgrace to Christianity and a reproach on the cause of Christ. Let us be content to preach the gospel. Preach the word, the gospel of the grace of God. Let caterers feed the Epicureans. Let actors entertain the people. Let the politicians run the country. Reformers clean up the moral mess. But the church has but one business, to get people saved, and then it will be easier for the politicians to run the country, easier for the police to keep order, easier for the reformers to clean up the community. The best way to help the police departments to get people saved, and their crimes will cease. The best way to combat the liquor evil and close the dives of sin is to get men and women born again. For every time a sinner is converted, these places lose a customer. Men and women are being lost because we, like the woman, have been careless. Instead of preaching the gospel, we've been putting on plays and entertainments, organizing church teams and clubs, sweating over dinners and banquets, and putting on carnivals and weenie roasts instead of preaching the gospel. We cannot compete with the world in feeding people and entertaining them. That's their business. And what is the result? While we have been busy organizing, cooking, playing, and dabbling in social and political life, sinners were left in the dark and lost in the dust of our own negligence. It is high time, beloved, that we take the candle and the broom and do some house cleaning for ourselves and sweep out some of the things which have accumulated and get down to finding precious lost coins for the Savior and the Master. And that's exactly what this woman did. She realized that it was her own negligence which caused the coin to be lost, and so she got busy. She swept the house, and we are told sought diligently, note that, diligently, till she find it. She didn't give up. Now why all the excitement over one single coin? After all, she still had nine others, and one silver piece was of no great value. But it was of infinite value to this woman, and so she became almost frantic in her search, shoving the furniture around, raising the dust, picking up the rugs, sweeping out all the corners. All day long, the neighbors heard the scraping of furniture with clouds of dust pouring out of the windows, and finally their curiosity overcame them, and they poked their heads in at the windows, only to quickly withdraw them as they fairly choked in the dust and narrowly missed a slap from the flaying broom in the hands of this frantic woman. Why all the excitement, they asked? Forget about the coin. It is of but little value. But the woman only said, leave me alone, leave me alone. I must find that coin or be forever disgraced. Now when we realize what this coin represented, we'll be able to understand this woman's zeal. We are told that in ancient time in the Orient, a husband gave to his bride on her wedding day a bandeau or a headband to be worn across her forehead. Instead of a wedding ring, he gave her this headband consisting of 10 pieces of silver. On each of these pieces of silver, the name of her husband was plainly engraved. In each silver piece was a hole in the middle, just as many Oriental coins still have today. And through these holes, a ribbon was strung, and then the woman tied this band across her forehead. It indicated that she was a married woman, that she belonged to somebody else, just as the ring on the left ring finger indicates marriage today. It was the indication of her pledge and troth to her husband. It was always to be worn whenever she appeared in public. When a woman was found untrue or unfaithful to her husband and had broken her pledge, they took this bandeau of 10 pieces and removed one piece right out of the center. They took her before the judges, and if she was found guilty, they removed one piece, leaving a conspicuous gap, and this omission of one piece testified to everyone who saw her that she'd been an unfaithful wife and had been disgraced because of being untrue. What a shame. Now this woman in the parable had lost one silver piece. Her husband evidently was gone, since he's never mentioned once. And during his absence, she had lost this piece. Soon he would return, and how could she face him? How could she explain? She was disgraced. She must find that piece before he returned. Now we can understand why she turns the house upside down to find it and seek diligently, and why she calls all her friends and neighbors together when she does find it and says, rejoice with me. She simply could not think of meeting her husband with this coin missing. Beloved, our husband has gone away too, but he's coming back again. And he said before he left, I will come again. And before he went with us, he gave us a trust to keep and said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that was 1900 years ago, and the husband will soon be back. But we fear the bride is not ready. After 1900 years, the church has not preached the gospel to every creature. After 1900 years, there are still hundreds of millions of precious souls who have never heard the message of grace. And since the church is made up of its members, it is applicable to every member of the body, to you and to me. And so I'd like to ask the question, are you ready for his return? Have you been faithful to the trust he left you? Or have you, like the woman, been occupied with other things more than with winning men and women for him? Then will you, like the woman in the parable, awake before he comes and take the lamp of the word and bear it to those who are lost about you? Will you take the broom of conviction of the Holy Spirit through the word of God and sweep your own house clean first? And having done that, you will discover precious souls which you may win. In view of the certainty of the return of our Lord, what are you doing to bring in those who must be brought? Or will he come and find you unprepared? Oh, we do not wonder that the woman becomes frantic in her search for the coin when we realize what it represented. For it represents, first of all, a precious soul destined for eternity. And we wonder, yes, I wonder at myself, why we do not become more excited in this ministry of seeking souls for Christ. We wonder and marvel at ourselves with doubt when we see how cold and unmoved we can remain as we proclaim this message of grace. When we visualize the thousands and thousands listening right now to my voice and realize that many of them, probably tens of thousands, are still lost and on the way to eternal hell, we do feel like crying out, oh, God, make me like that woman who turned the house upside down, set me on fire. Let men and women know that this preaching
is a matter of life and death. And make me like Jeremiah of old, who said, "Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." At times it seems that our hearts will fairly break when we think of the responsibility which God has laid upon us as we seek to tell the story and find ourselves and others so cold, so unmoved, so indifferent. May God stir up our nest for us and lay upon us the burden of lost souls. Deliver us from our indifference, O God, and let the zeal of thine house eat us up. And may we from this moment on determine by the grace of God that we will be faithful in season, out of season, seeking the lost. And then just a closing, very personal word for which you'll pardon me. And that is, this coin was lost in the woman's own house. She wasn't looking for somebody else's coin. She's looking for her own. If the house may be taken as the church, lost in the church, lost in the house of Christian parents. Oh, parents, you who claim to be Christians, and your own children are still lost. Lost in your own house. Lost in your own house. Because of your neglect and your indifference. Because you've been so occupied with the things of this life. Have you ever asked those children of yours definitely, with tears in your eyes, to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? The reason they're not saved is because you haven't done that. And I'm pleading with you now, like the woman, stop everything else. Stop everything else. Turn off the gas and sweep the house. And don't rest until you know that your children are saved. Will you do that? Think of it. Christ died to save them and offers it as a free gift, but it must be through the instrumentality of those who know him. Why not bow your head and dedicate your life to the task, beginning at home, to tell the story of Jesus till he comes? Our Father, we pray thy blessing upon this message, and that the Holy Spirit himself may take it and convict both saint and sinner for Jesus' sake. Amen.